The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire. How I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord. I was always kind of glad that he didn't start going into first and second cousins in the teaching. Well, does it seem to be like maybe there's a disconnect in the gospel today? The Prince of Peace is saying, "I have not come to establish peace on the earth, but rather division." Has he come to divide families, set us at odds with one another? If that is the case, then the profound division and conflict which we see in every area of our world must be God's will, right? But we know God is love. He is the author of unity and communion. Usually when Jesus seems to say something like this that is so out of character, it means that we must look deeper into the scriptures at hand to discover his meaning. Clearly, it is not our division that Jesus is seeking. He tells us exactly what he wants right before this at the beginning of today's gospel. "I have come to set a fire on this earth. How I wish it was blazing. I have come to undergo a baptism. How great is my anguish until it is accomplished." He wants to set your heart on fire. And by the way, why is it not blazing if it isn't? I suppose it might be, and we're just staying low-key about it. Wouldn't want to attract any attention, would we? But really, what is holding us back? Usually it's because we are comfortable and content, at least relatively so. There is a sense of security with what is familiar. Could things in my life be greater? Of course. But most people are willing to settle for what they have and hope it doesn't get worse. It leads to an inner frustration of always wanting more, but just passively hoping that things will get better. We sell ourselves short on what God actually has in store for us. When things are shaken up, it is unsettling, but change doesn't happen when we settle for what is familiar. Think about the generations immediately following Jesus. To be baptized in most places was illegal. It could mean a death sentence. Think about how families are divided today when some members of the family reject the teachings of the church. Think of the conflict and suffering this can cause. Then think of it in reverse. In the several centuries immediately following Jesus, religion became political. Imagine that. There is real division. Religion is one of the things you're never supposed to talk about at family dinners, right? Fathers against sons, daughters against mothers. But Jesus is saying that the fire in your heart is even more important than all of this. It is your lifeblood, your hope of living fully with what God has in store for you. Is this easy? Rarely. I have not found it so myself. There is a line that catches my thoughts in the second reading today. Yes, the road can be hard, the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, but consider how Jesus endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus himself has walked this road with our human nature. He knows what it offers and he knows what it demands. And he still wants us to know the fire. The letter to the Hebrews continues, "In your struggle against sin, You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. I don't want you to read this as if to say, in your struggle with your sins. He is saying, in your struggle against sin, against evil, you are fighting the fight. There is a much wider message here than that of self-righteousness. Jesus' baptism was the victory over sin itself. Obviously not his own sins. He couldn't sin. It is the moment we are delivered and redeemed. His baptism was transformation on the cross so that we might know in our humanity the waters of the Jordan River. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking out God's word of judgment on the evil of his day. He nearly lost his life for it, as we just heard. He is the prefigured Jesus as he is cast into the cistern and left to die, sinking into the mud. Jeremiah's words are recalled every year on Good Friday as a meditation on what happened to Jesus. Perhaps some of you have been to the Holy Land, to the Church of St. Peter in Gallicantu on the side of Mount Zion. Gallicantu means the singing rooster. The Church of the Singing Rooster. Under the house were found large cisterns for holding water. It was into one of these that Jesus was thrown while awaiting trial. When we were there, we go down into this cistern and read the words of Jeremiah from his book of Lamentations. My life is deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. I have called upon your name, O Lord, from the bottom of the pit. You heard me call. Do not let your ear be deaf to my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called you. You said, do not fear. You pleaded my case. Lord, you redeemed my life. As you can see, the process of redemption and the attainment of salvation is anything but a peaceful one, not because God is not peace itself, but because the world does not know peace and in her ignorance does not see its value. The world does not know the need to be set on fire by Jesus. If only it did, the world would be all peacemakers. Jesus asked the question, do you think I have come to establish peace on this earth? St. Paul VI, Pope Paul VI, nearly 50 years ago answered this question. If you want peace, work for justice. The work of Jesus was hard enough, even harder because of our hard hearts. He came to establish justice, mercy, reconciliation, compassion, respect, and love. And without these, there can be no peace yet, as Jesus shows. In planting these seeds, peace will ultimately be the bountiful harvest.